Second, good morning to everybody, in case I missed anybody. Morning. How is everybody today? Good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I like being nervous. I can depend on the Holy Spirit to do the rest. I heard a lady say once to Esther, don't you get nervous after singing for so many years? Don't you ever get nervous? She goes, all the time. Says, the second I stop being nervous is the second I should stop singing, because then I'm full of myself. So that's how I look at it. If you're nervous, just look, especially if you're in a public place, like some of you guys are, and then you depend on the Holy Spirit to use you. And my first part of my scripture here that I want Brendan to put up is fitting here. Zechariah 4:6, out of the King James Version. It says, not by might nor by power. So in other words, not by your own strength, not by the way you think you can do things, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's how things get done. That's the only way we will get to where I'm going with this message. Let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace that we are able to plug into this grace. Now is the day, dispensation of grace. Let us take advantage of it, and let us take it seriously, Father, everyone here. Everybody that names the name of the Lord as his own, Lord Jesus. Let us separate ourselves from the things of this world and plug into what you got, because the times are short and evil. The days are evil. Father, you will give us, you will guide us in all truths, and you will guide us away from the things of this world. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. My message today will be about, if there's a message I would want to put my name on, it's this one. If there's a message that I know the Church of Jesus Christ cannot bargain with, we cannot disagree on, it has to be 100% unity across the board. There can be no buts, maybe ins or buts about it. Maybe this way, there cannot be. There is no room for interpreting in a different way. There is only this interpretation of it. If you don't agree with that, then I'm afraid you will have to suffer the consequences of it. And you'll see what I'm getting at. But when the Lord laid this on my heart, this message, I know it's an easy message to give, because it's the fundamentals of Christianity, and it's elementary. It's what Christianity is all about, is this message. If I think if people would really take care of this message, we would agree on a lot of other doctrines, on most of them. But if this one is not taken care of, you will have a lot of issues with a lot of things. But if you take care of this one, you will find that spirit has a way of uniting everybody together. Even if we have disagreements, we'll still see, okay, you're looking at the same house just from a different perspective. There's different ways of looking at things. And that's how Scripture is. Scripture is so deep. There's a superficial way of looking at them, and then there's a deep way of looking at them. As you grow in the Lord, they become deeper. They can become more meaningful. It's like a deep well. You get more and more out of it. And this is how Scripture is. So starting with John 3:3, out of the King James Version, it's Jesus speaking. Then this question came when they asked, Nicodemus asked, how can I get into the kingdom of God? And Jesus answers and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's the first step. Have you taken care of this step? There's a mighty work that has to be done within you by the Holy Spirit, and only by the Holy Spirit, to get you across that threshold. And once you're across that, you will again see what I'm getting at with this message. You'll get the drift. Then something happens, that a circumcision or a mighty work of God happens within you, that the person it happened to cannot deny it. You cannot say or doubt, has this happened to me? Because you know you were there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. In John 5:3, verse 5, Jesus again, Jesus answered, "Very truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water," that's the natural birth, we're all born the natural way, which is in what from we come out of water, "and of spirit," the Holy Spirit, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So this exempts demons and spirit entities. They are not born of water. So they can never again be born again. They're done. It's over for them. So for us, if you have been born, the human, you have had the physical birth, you can get into the kingdom of God. But there's another step to it. It's you have to be born of the Spirit. How does that happen? So you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Children have it automatically, and I'll prove it to you out of Scripture. Children are there automatically just by being children. And I've had this scripture here, the next one, lots of times here. It's Matthew 5, verse 3. That's the beginning of all of where it starts. It's blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Again, we're talking about the kingdom of God. So blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What does that mean? That means an incredible humbling on your part, recognizing that you need help, that you are beyond helping yourself, going back, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So the Lord can do that surgery within you or that necessary work for you to become one of his, a part of the family of God. Have you become a part of the family of God? Are you a member of that family of God? That's a question only you can answer. And mind you, there are fruits that show that you have become part of that family of God that are undeniable. First of all, joy, peace. Peace should be there. You should always have peace within your heart as a child of God. I do. There is something that Satan cannot take away from me, and that's my peace. However, the way you live your life in the flesh can really fool around with that peace within your heart. So be careful how you live your life, how you conduct it. In Matthew 19, verse 14, again, Jesus speaking, allow the little children, like the disciples, remember, this is a story where the parents were bringing their children to be blessed, and the disciples stopped them. He basically doesn't have time for your little ones. Get away from here. No, Jesus said, no, allow the little ones, forbid them not to come unto me. Guess what they are? For such is the kingdom of heaven. So there you go. There's your kingdom of heaven. In Luke 17, verse 20 to 21, again out of the King James Version. And then it was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered and said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's already there. How does that happen? And how did that happen? How did the kingdom of God become within you? Process that happened when you became born again. God made his kingdom within you. And his kingdom stays within you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. As Paul writes to the Corinthians. And whoever defiles the temple, which is your body, God will destroy. Again, not your body, not your spirit. Your spirit belongs to God. And so there are two types of people in this world, and there's not black, white, yellow, red. There is no such a thing in God's eyes. There's only the lost and the saved. There is no other people on this planet. If you're lost, you are a child of the devil. If you're saved, you are a child of God, of the King, of the living God. And how do you get saved again? You get saved by a mighty work and humbling within you and a mighty work of the Holy Ghost that he performs within you that you yourself know the day when it happened. I know the day when it happened to me. Do you know? It's a challenge to you to make sure. I know in general I'm probably talking to mostly believers, but if I talk to anybody on YouTube that is not a believer, there is one thing you got to make sure. The time is short. You better know who you belong to. Do you belong to God or do you belong to the Father, which is the devil? So make sure that is only something that you can make sure of. This is very, very serious stuff. If there is nothing, if you think your job is serious, the things that are into are serious, this is the most serious conversation or piece of work that you are into. That is the single most important thing that you will ever encounter in your life. Take care of your salvation. Take care of it. Make sure that it is written in stone. Make sure that foundation is underneath you, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. If that foundation is not there, you have built upon sand. And when the storms come, you will fall. And you will recognize when the storms come, if you have built upon sand, how shaky your ground is. But if the storms come and you all know you're set, that insurance is there. It's going to take care of everything. You know you are on the right track. That is Jesus Christ. So, again, either God is your heavenly Father or you're of the Father, the devil, which Jesus told the religious folks of his time, who was a liar from the beginning. There is only two choices. That is it. What will you choose? In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writing, and he said, I have heard you in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not when you're dead. When you're dead, the decision has to have been made already. It is too late to make that decision. For all my religious friends, all my anybody listening in any religious circle, if you are depending on your background or on your forefathers, that they the ones where you're, that's your foundation, you are in for a surprise. You are deceived to the point of where you are going to be eternally lost if you hinge on that. You have to forsake or change your attitude and your mindset. That's the first step of becoming a humble in spirit or poor in spirit. That's when you recognize, oh man, I do not have what I thought I had was right. This is not real. This is not true. I have to forsake that and choose the way God has appointed for us to take, and that's himself. So again, behold, now is the time. Young kids, do not procrastinate getting to know Jesus. This is the time. It's now. This warning, if you've had any other warning about any other thing, this is the best warning you will ever get to know Jesus. Make it now. I do not know when the cutoff is, when these little children that Jesus said, such is the kingdom of God, I do not know where the line is, where it stops, where you become adult, and where that could be individually different for every person. I do not know that. Just if you're of age and you are able to think and make a decision, choose Jesus Christ. The sooner you do it, the more thrilled you will be when you get older. In Hebrews 3, verse 15, again out of the King James Version, it says, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If the Holy Spirit is drawing on your heart, harden not your heart. And the way you harden your heart, you push it off. You push it off. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when it gets bad. I'll do it when it doesn't work that way. Now is the time. The time is now. Recognize that you're poor in spirit. And God will perform the greatest miracle that this world has ever seen. He will do surgery within you that can never, ever be undone. And I thank God that it is like that. If God would have not put it in that way, we would always fall and end up in hell one day, save the next. In hell one day, save the next. Over and over. We all know how we are in the physical. We fail over and over. That doesn't make us unsaved, because God made it very unique. He saved our spirits. Our flesh has to go either into the ground or be changed. One day that'll happen. One of the two will happen. So, have you become a member or a part of the family of God? If you haven't, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. May the Lord bless you and open your understanding to that truth in Jesus.
Hallelujah. You got to be in Christ Jesus, that's for sure. If you're not, there's a day coming when you will be judged. I'm not going to be judged. And it was not for my salvation. Jesus took my judgment upon himself. But I want to talk to you about hearing the voice of God, listening to the voice of God, making sense of what we're seeing all over today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Some he gave apostles and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You want to edify. You want to tell you this is how it is. And I've got proof for it. Let's say when Peter walked on the water, how come the other disciples stayed in the boat? Peter listened to the voice of Jesus. What did he say? Come. Stepped out of the boat, started to walk to Jesus, and it didn't take long. He looked at the world around him, and boom, down he goes. And he said, oh, you of little faith, when are you going to smarten up? See, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you are in a situation where there's a devil to be driven out, well, I've never done that. Are you a Christian? If you are, do what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say? These things went out with the apostles. No, it says, go and drive out devils. If God tells you to pray for somebody to be healed, that doesn't make logical sense. This hasn't happened in my circle. But what does the Word of God say? He says, go and pray for the sick, that they might be healed. So you do not listen to people. You listen to what the Word of God says. It's your last authority. Things happen when you take the verse of the Word of God as your anchor. God is behind it. When he says it'll happen, it'll happen. And today many Christians, listen to this, Colossians, the Apostle Paul knew, Colossians chapter 2, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, that's what a lot of the Christian world is operating. They go by logic. This can't happen. It's impossible. Well, these were the apostles. They had that extra oomph from the Holy Spirit. God said to Elijah, he is like same passion as we are. In other words, we're the same thing. There's no difference. We're all born of God. We all got the Spirit of God in us. And we need to put that Spirit to use. Listen to the one, forbid not to speak in other tongues. God put it there for a reason. Many people of God say, that's from the devil. That went out with the apostles. Nobody prays in other tongues. That's just gibberish that you're doing. No, the Bible makes perfect sense out of it. It says, do it, you do it. Why? Because God seems to understand it. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell you to do it. But many are spoiled through philosophy, vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world and not after the word of Christ. For in him dwelt all the fullness of Godhead bodily. I love this one. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. You don't need anybody. You're complete in him. The sky's the limit if it lines up with the word. Understand that. It has to line up with the word. Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophesied that Israel is going to be attacked by those from the north. And it's going to happen one day. Ezekiel prophesied that the nation of Israel will become a nation in one day. When did that happen? 1942, May the 5th. I was alive. No, I wasn't. In 1948, that's going back 10 years. So it was prophesied by the word of God. And I've listened to old preachers, and there was an argument. That can't happen, but the word of God says it. It will happen, and it did happen. How about you go back to the Lutherans in those days when there's a lot of Christianity, but there was one problem. It wasn't only the Lutherans, it was also the Catholics. It was, what's that other guy's name who preached in the beer parlors? Martin Luther King. No, not Martin Luther. Martin Luther. Okay, he said, children, it's not good enough to get baptized. You got to get baptized when you're older, when you know that you want to live for God. Look how many people have been burned at the stake by Christians because people would not baptize their children. If we think we got problems today by not praying in tongues, by not casting out devils, they had problems. They baptized their children. No, they baptized their people who were older, and that was forbidden. Everything was German in those days. Those that get rebaptized, the Baptists, the Anabaptists did that. So it caused a lot of heartache in the church just because of one false doctrine that children need to be baptized. It's false. They need to grow up. They need to make a decision for Christ. And then they get baptized. These people are still doing it today, except they're not burning other Christians at the stake for doing it. It says, you being dead in your sins, an uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him. You're his. You belong to him. Having forgiven you all trespasses, that's every one of them, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, took it out of the way, and nailed it to his cross. That qualifies you to do what Jesus did. There's a scripture that says, greater works will you do than I did. That's in scripture. Where do they put that? I don't know. Don't you read Scripture? You have to lean on Scripture. You don't lean on your common sense. They don't make sense when it comes to the Word of God. Your common sense can lead you astray. So many people, especially amongst our people, we're not leaving the Hutterites. We got to show them love. It doesn't take long. They're in the same boat again. They're in the same garbage again. They're taking orders. There, whatever they had slowly dies down. They don't understand. They're complete in Christ. They don't need a religious system to tell them what to do. Colossians 3, if you then been risen with Christ, seek the things which are above. That's above a hockey rink. That's above a football stadium. That's above any sport there is. That's above your work. You got to have your mind on that. It says, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things, not on the things on earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid in Christ. God doesn't see it. Isn't that awesome? Everybody else can accuse you, but if God doesn't see it, who cares? Hallelujah. You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. You're going to come back with him, with how he wants to see yourself. Then we're going to see everybody the way God looks at us. That's the true way of looking at one another. We got to see Christ. The Apostle Paul says this, I don't see no man after the flesh. I see them in Christ. That's quite something to say. How many of us are guilty of seeing one another in the flesh? We do that on a continuous basis. We never seem to get the fact straight that in Christ Jesus, we're all born into this Spirit. And that's the way we as Christians should look at it. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. That's who we fight against. Walk in wisdom, Colossians chapter 4, towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, and you know may know how you ought to answer every man. Take your time, don't rush with your answer. Let it be straightforward. When it comes to Christianity, don't start joking around. That is one thing I give myself. If there's one place I stay serious, that's when I talk about what God has done. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. To change subject here a bit, I want to give you something to think about. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When an unclean spirit is going out of a man, and Christians can have unclean spirits. We've seen it. I've seen it. That's the person you want to cast the devil out of in the first place. But if you're not careful, listen to this. Then he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he said, I will return to my house from which I come out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. Then goes he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and to enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so, it be also unto this wicked generation. There's something called garnished and cleaned out. What happened to you? How come that demon is coming back? The word of God is missing in here. Somebody neglected to read and to study. Somebody neglected to put the word of God into his heart. And those demons come back. They still like to play with pornography. They still like to play with sports. They still like to keep these things at the uppermost of their minds. So the devil says, hey, let's go back and peek in the window. Let's see if the word of God resides in that person. And many times it comes, there is no word of God. There is no antidote. So guess what he does? He goes and gathers his buddies. Let's go. I found an empty space, and we can occupy it. How often do we see that? Men and women, we need, brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. We need to put at least a chapter a day into our spirit to keep the spirits at bay so they see that you mean business with God. Read the Bible, study the Bible. Let the word speak to you so that it can come out through your mouth and you speak the word to those around you. Then the devil looks at that place and says, nah, this is not too comfortable for me. I better stay out of there. So this is how it goes. Watch it. I've seen it. Fill yourself with the word of God, and you will find tranquility for your soul. You'll find peace and joy, and joy and rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do. Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see. the blessed way. Teach me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption's song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take my stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down. Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus.